Okay, well, welcome everybody. Welcome to the June call. You can see that I'm sitting next to Madeline Parrott, CCL's program manager. We're here in the hotel where the conference is. You know, it's one of those things, and most of us on this call have had this experience anywhere where you start to run into a bunch of other CCLers and your life just kind of lights up. So, you know, if I walk down to a hall, I'm seeing people arriving from different parts of the country. If I go in the Hampton room, there's 40 people from different cities. So we are, you know, quickly filling up this hotel. When we ran the name tag count the other day, it was over 1,300 name tags. This is by far the biggest conference we've ever had. We said at the start of the year we needed to make a really big statement, and once again, you've come through. Absolutely amazing. So for the most part, what I'm going to do today is walk through a lot of the things that are happening at the conference, talk a little bit about Paris, go over our actions. We actually have a nice feature because we're in the hotel. We have our special correspondents, which is going to go, we're going to go interview some people in the lobby in a little bit. We'll be hearing from Ted Deutsch shortly. Let me just say, of all the weeks to happen, this was not a good week for the speaker to tell us that he was going to be on a plane Saturday during the time of our call. So fortunately, we were able to record him Thursday, so we still have Ted Deutsch's remarks, and we're very excited about it. But let me just say, for a little while, this week got very stressful when we did advertise the speaker, and then all of a sudden, oh, they're not going to be there anymore. So let's just call it an interesting week. I don't want to go any further without introducing our newest chapters also. So we're so excited to have Homer, Alaska, Auburn, Alabama, Scottsdale, Arizona, San Clemente, California, Pueblo, Colorado, Boca Raton, Florida, Hilo, Hawaii. That'd be a fun chapter to be in, right? Sandpoint, Idaho, another state where it's real important for us to grow in. Evansville, Indiana. New Orleans, Louisiana. Houghton, Michigan. Houghton, is that right? Houghton, okay? Either Houghton or Houghton. Either way, we still like you. Bemidji, Minnesota. Restart, Greensboro, North Carolina. Geneseo, New York. Poughkeepsie, New York. And Haverton, Pennsylvania. So welcome to all those new chapters. It is really, really great to have you here. Many of you probably saw the press release that we released right after the president announced that he was withdrawing from Paris. If you saw, we made a pretty strong statement saying that, at least I consider it to be the biggest failure in leadership in the history of our country. We're not an organization that lends itself to hyperbole, so we don't make statements like that very often. But I believed in this case that we, not just the leaving of Paris, but the way it was done, was a huge turning backwards rather than looking forward. Now, remarkably, it may end up being one of the great tools that's gonna help get something over the finish line. So if you see the kinds of things that have happened subsequently, the mayors of Pittsburgh and Paris released a joint letter. The meeting that Governor Jerry Brown had with the president of China was obviously far more extensive and comprehensive than what had happened without it. So it looks like something that looked like just a bad thing, and it was a terrible decision in my view, ends up, it might be just the thing we needed to get something up to the finish line. More on that as we go along. Okay, so let me just give you an overview of what's happening here. We had the craziest time we've ever had this year securing appointments because so many people want to meet with Congress. At one point, it looked like we were going to have a conference with about 300 meetings because it used to be us calling and calling and calling, trying to get appointments, and then a bunch of other people not doing that. But now everybody wants to talk to Congress. Well, if you're an appointment setter or a liaison or anybody who supported that process, the effort you gave and not throwing in the towel and just staying with it and staying with it and staying with it, we're at almost 500 appointments right now. And that is such a remarkable effort by all of you who didn't give up, who kept asking, kept reaching out. We're going to see almost the entire Congress again on Tuesday, and that's remarkable. Okay, let me give you just a few highlights of what's going to be happening between now and then. There's a lot of people in the hotel already. There's tons of interns and staff who are doing the final last-minute arrangements. The conference will kick off tomorrow morning. We'll have a 45-minute welcome, and then we'll break off into three sessions. Now, I'm going to emphasize to you, so when you're watching, the parts of the conference that will be live-streamed. So starting at 9 Eastern time tomorrow, 6 a.m. on the West Coast, we'll be streaming the Welcome to the Conference. Then we'll be breaking into three sessions, a group leader liaison session, which will be streamed if you want to watch that, a session for new people, we call it a climate advocate training, and then we have breakout sessions if you're somewhere between brand new and a group leader. That will be the morning of tomorrow. Then everybody will go to lunch on their own. And then Madeline Para will be doing our big planning plenary. And we have a surprise guest. So you want to watch at least, if not all of what Madeline's doing, at least the first hour, because in addition to the fantastic stuff that she's going to be laying out, we have a surprise guest who will be there for just a moment. After that, we'll be breaking out by states. And the states will get a chance to do the planning for their state, their region, et cetera. After that, we'll go to dinner. Then right at 7 o'clock, if you're streaming the conference, I think you'd want to stream at 7 o'clock again. Brad Fitch from the Climate Congressional Management Foundation is going to do a presentation on working with Congress. The Congressional Management Foundation is the organization that simply knows more about what works in working with Congress than probably everybody else combined. That will happen. And then we'll have some of the key conference details, like, you know, where the secret picture is this year. And then Danny and his legislative team will be joining us. So Danny Richter, Stephanie Doyle, Jay Butera. And then in addition to that, Danny will be introducing our two new legislative staff that will be joining our organization that are based in D.C. And so very packed agenda for Sunday night with really Danny laying out our how we're going to get a bill across the finish line. And everything that will need to happen to have that happen and how we're going to relate to all the different secondary asks this year. That's the end of day one. Day two starts off with Monday morning, Claudine Schneider. Claudine Schneider is a Republican former member of Congress from Rhode Island who introduced some really, really interesting bills. She'll be our first speaker on Monday morning. Followed after that is by Anthony Leiserwitz. Anthony is the person that runs the Yale 360 Project. Many of you probably read the Six Americas report. He simply has his pulse on where America and the rest of the world is on dealing with climate and carbon pricing more than anybody we're ever going to talk to, and we're thrilled that he could be with us again. We'll take a break, and then after that is going to be Lou Helmuth from our Children's Trust. I don't know if this is an organization you've been have been following, but either way, you want to hear this, because our Children's Trust is an organization that you may have heard of that's taking a little bit different tack than we are. What they did is they said, we are starting with the assumption that having a healthy climate is a basic fundamental right. And so they're suing the federal government on behalf of a group of children to say that this is a basic right. It's one of the all-time David versus Goliath story, and David's doing really well. So that piece tomorrow afternoon, you're going to want to see for sure. After that, we'll be taking a lunch break. We have 30 breakout sessions. The ones that we'll be streaming is the one about the oceans, the one about health and climate change, and then the last one we'll be streaming is about national security. So we can't stream all 30 breakout sessions, but the three breakouts we will be streaming is health, national security, and oceans. So all those three panels will be streamed. Then we have something we've never done before. We have two more short plenaries before we go to dinner. So we actually have a little bit longer day Monday. After all those plenaries are done at 5:45, Hari Hahn is going to be on. Hari Hahn is the political scientist who I don't know how many of you are with the organization, not this January, but the January before where she was the speaker. I think Hari Hahn represents one of the three most important calls we've ever had, because she talked about something called transformational advocacy. And she said, in transformational advocacy, you're not just doing something. The people are as important as what you're doing. And she's published three books on grassroots organizing, is really one of the world's experts on what has grassroots efforts succeed or fail. Then our last speaker for the night is going to be Ted Halstead. Ted formed the Climate Leadership Council with former Secretary of State Baker, Schultz. So he'll be joining us for the last session for Monday night. Then people will go to dinner. There'll be dancing or preparation, whatever works best for people. And then we go on the Hill Tuesday. And hopefully we'll see almost every member of the House and Senate. We'll have a reception at the hotel at 7 o'clock. And then another thing that's happening this year is we have a staff retreat the day after the conference. And here's one of the things that we'll be working on, the main thing we'll be working on. With an organization that grows at the rate we grow, one of the things you have to reevaluate all the time is, are the support structures, are the systems that they're using, are they adequate to the organization that exists today? Maybe they were adequate a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 6 months ago, But are you running the organization in a way that is most supportive to this today's organization? So we'll be working on that as a staff. I'll come back to some other things in a few minutes, but I want to switch over to the interview we had with Ted Deutsch. Ted Deutsch is the co-founder of the Climate Solutions Caucus. He's the Democratic co-founder. The other co-founder, Carlos Curbelo, has been a guest on this call. And we're going to bring on the recording we've had with Mr. Deutsch about the Climate Solutions Caucus now. So I'll turn it over to Ricky Bradley for just a moment. Representative Deutsch, thank you for making this work. Who you're going to be talking to, the recording this now on Saturday, is there's 1,300 people on the way to D.C. right now. So okay. We're going to have our annual conference and try to see everybody in the House and Senate again. We're close to about 500 confirmed appointments right now. There'll be another whole bunch of people who weren't able to make the trip but helped raise money for other people to come. They helped get the appointment secured. And then there'll be thousands of people who'll be listening to the recording in between months. So what we're hoping is to get some of your comments on the Climate Solutions Caucus. And, you know, initially your thoughts of, you know, what your aspirations are for it. How big do you think it can get? What do you think it can do in the short and long term? So if you wouldn't mind starting there, and then I have a few follow-up questions if you don't mind.
Thanks so much for asking me to participate, and I'm sorry that I can't be there in person. It's the Climate Solutions Caucus is growing, and it's growing rapidly, and it's growing rapidly because of the people who are participating in Washington and the people all around the country who have helped. We are now up to 42 members. That's 21 Republicans and 21 Democrats who come together to focus on climate change, ways to address climate change, mitigation, resiliency, ways to curb emissions, and all of this at a vitally important moment when more and more members of Congress understand what's at stake, while unfortunately the administration made a decision to move in an opposite direction. What we're doing now is more important than ever.
Great. And how big do you think this caucus can grow, and what kind of influence can yield? And then would you mind also saying, do you think there's a chance that this bleeds over to other issues? Is it possible that there's bipartisanship happening here that perhaps could foster bipartisanship in a greater Congress?
How big can this caucus grow? I like to say that there's really no limit, but unfortunately there are some number of members who don't think this is a serious issue and who don't believe that we should be working hard to address it. I can't do anything about them, but I do know that as more and more members of Congress hear from activists around the country, like so many activists who have come to Washington to go talk to their members of Congress, there's going to be more pressure on them to join. So hopefully that will cause the numbers to grow. And this really is, I think, a good model for the way things should work in Congress. There are big issues that we have to tackle that will only get resolved if we work in a bipartisan way. And given the way things are currently in Washington, just having the opportunity to come to sit around a table to have a meaningful and constructive conversation is something that unfortunately is all too rare. It's happening in the Climate Solutions Caucus. And when we move forward and we have the opportunity to show the ability to actually pass legislation and make this an important part of the national debate, then hopefully that we can do the same thing in other areas as well.
And when do you anticipate that we'll start seeing legislation and how aggressive do you think there will be bills coming out of the caucus in terms of how ambitious they are?
I know some of us on the caucus are very ambitious and would like to move forward quickly. There's legislation and there are bills that have been introduced, not as caucus bills, but bills that we hope the caucus will support that focus on mitigation and the creation of a fund to fund mitigation projects around the country that will also allow us to move forward with resiliency efforts around the country. Likewise, there is a bipartisan bill to create a climate commission that will bring in experts that will again make recommendations on on policies that an administration can adopt. Those, I think, those are things that, that can all move forward. But there's more than that. We're looking for ways to, there are bills to curb emissions, both CO2 emissions and methane emissions. There is legislation that will change the way agriculture is done so that we can encourage the agriculture industry to move forward in a way that will both be more beneficial to their crops and their crop yield, but will also help to reduce global warming. That's the kind of thing that we ought to be doing. And then finally, the one area that we don't talk enough about is the ways to work with our military leaders and provide them with the tools that they need to combat climate change. It's something that they're focused on their bases, and it's something that they understand we have to do, because if we're not serious about fighting climate change, it will only mean that around the globe, it will put more communities at risk and will likely lead to greater conflict and a higher severity of conflicts around the world. So we ought to be working with the military as well and our national defense experts. And that's something else where I think there's broad support in the caucus.
Great. One of the questions that was set to me by quite a few people is oftentimes our volunteers are frustrated because when they meet in Democratic offices, the Democrats are so discouraged about the possibility of getting anything done. And they were asking, what can you tell us about how to approach particularly the Democratic offices that are discouraged to try and encourage them that something can get done?
Well, I understand. I mean, I'm an optimist, and I don't think that you can really do this job either as a member of Congress or as an activist if you weren't optimistic about the chances for success. That said, it's challenging when the President of the United States gives a speech full of all kinds of outrageous statements that aren't actually supported by the facts about climate change and in support of his really unfortunate decision to withdraw from Paris. I can understand the frustration. That said, this is an issue that the American people understand. Overwhelmingly, there is opposition to the president's decision to withdraw from Paris, the Paris Agreement. And so they should actually know going in to talk to members of Congress that there is an opportunity to build upon the disappointment that people feel, the anger that people felt when the president ceded leadership on this issue. The talking point was that the president ceded leadership to China. That may be true in the context of this agreement, the Paris Agreement. It is not at all true in Washington. In Washington, leadership is now in the hands of Congress, which really means that leadership is in the hands of your activists who are here to talk to their members of Congress. They should feel empowered by what they've seen and not let the frustration get to them. Instead, view it as an opportunity to really stand up and to advocate for positions that are overwhelmingly supported by the American people.
Great. And that really leads me to one of the other areas people ask me a lot, which is, what else can we do to help to build the caucus? I mean, our volunteers are so committed to growing this as fast as we possibly can. Is there anything that we might not be thinking about that you, or approaches to growing it, that would help the caucus continue to grow at the really remarkable rate it has been growing?
Well, it's a great question. You're actually doing a great job. And you need to keep it up. You need to keep writing those letters to the editor. They matter. People see them. They read them. They pop up on people's Google alerts, and that makes a difference. So keep writing the letters. Keep reaching out to the offices. Keep meeting with members of Congress. It's important when you're in Washington, but when you do programs at home, you can go to meet the members of Congress to talk about these issues. But when there are other programs, I know that the activists down in South Florida have been really busy doing programming around town. Invite your members of Congress, invite their staffs to come see the work that you're doing, to see how energized you are. That matters. And finally, you have to take advantage of social media. Everyone, it's embarrassing to say, but we all check our Twitter accounts and Instagram and Facebook. And when you're out there posting about these issues and tagging your members of Congress and talking about how important it is to you that they care about these issues, you will get their attention and you will increase the likelihood that that they're going to participate. So stay at it. It's hard work, but it's hard work because there's so many ways for you to do it. And if you stay at it, your impact will only magnify.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our people? Again, we're going to have 1,300 people on Capitol Hill next Tuesday. We'll be working with ourselves on Sunday and Monday to get ready for that. There's thousands more people back home in the district who, as you pointed out, you know, we're running a clip of about 3,000 letters to the editor this year, probably about 500 or 600 op-eds, and really astonishingly, we'll probably get 100 editorial endorsements from newspapers this year. So is there anything else that you would like to share with those people that are out there doing that?
No, I'd just like to thank them and thank you for what you're doing. There are so many tools at your disposal to further our shared goal of getting people to come together in Congress to tackle the issue of climate change. We have meetings in the Climate Solutions Caucus where we give business leaders and energy companies and military leaders and government officials the opportunity to come talk about the cost the cost of carbon on their businesses, on our economy and on the world. You have so many opportunities to do the same thing at home. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing and encourage you to keep doing it. Stay at the social media, keep writing letters to the editor, talk to your neighbors about it. There aren't a lot of issues right now that have broad bipartisan support. So let's work together to advance this issue that we all care about and to show those people who think that Congress can't work together, that when it comes to an issue this important that affects the future of our planet, that indeed we can come together and in fact, we really must. So thanks for all that you do and thanks for letting me spend some time with you.
Thank you so much, Representative Deutsch. We loved having you at our reception last year loved having you be able to get out to all of our membership by this Saturday's call. Thank you so much.